The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
The Lord will help us. Can we just pray a little? Father, thank you. Thank you for today. As we go into your word, you have been blessing us since morning. Jesus, please bless us again. Bless us. Grant every soul capacity to hear, to understand, and to be able to make use of the blessing you'll be releasing. Help me not to forget things I should say. Help me not to say things I should not say. Just help me, Jesus. In Jesus' unfailing name we have prayed. Amen. We'll read from Ephesians 3 this morning. We'll all read together. Let's see from verse 8. Can we all read together? It's on the screen. Unto me. Who is the me there? Who is the me in that scripture? It's Apostle Paul that is talking. Hallelujah. All those letters from Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, is Apostle Paul that wrote them to churches. So this is one church. Ephesian church is a church. It's a church that Apostle Paul wrote letter to. So unto me, me there is Apostle Paul, who am less than the least of all the saints. Praise God. Do you see how he classified himself? I am less than the least of all the saints. Do you know the meaning of that? Who is a saint first? Who is a saint? A believer in Jesus. Does not mean his life has been perfected. Does not mean he's doing everything perfectly. But that you believe Jesus. It's God that called you saint. A believer in Christ Jesus. He said the least of all saints. The least of all saints is somebody who the only thing he knows is just that he believes in Jesus. Is this grace given? So there's a particular grace they gave Apostle Paul. That I should do what? Can we say preach? That I should do what? Preach among the Gentiles. What? God will make you rich. If you don't read this scripture, if I don't say God will make you rich, if you are not thinking of investment, leave that one. That one is small. Hallelujah. For God to give you natural riches. The same toiling. Peter said we have toiled all night. Jesus said, cast net. Same fish we run away from net, started looking for net. You understand? Eh? Where were they hiding? They toiled all night. So it was not them using the nets to look for the fish. Fish were looking for nets, say, catch us. And that's how wealth will go after a man. Amen. Who goes after this gospel. Say amen very well.
Amen.
Do you know why? Because you'll be very wealthy. You'll be very, very wealthy. All the things we have gone through, they are training for us to be able to handle wealth when it comes. Then Jesus wants you to set your priority right. I don't know who was leading prayer, who was talking. Instead of Peter rejoicing, saying catch plenty fish, what did he do? He was doing what? What did he say? He said something to Jesus. I don't know if you can help me get that, please. He said, depart from me. Why did you think he made that statement? Let's read again. Continue verse 6. Great multitude of fish, their net began to break. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, I am a sinful man. What's the correlation of sin and fish? The sin there is that he lost faith in Jesus. Somewhere there in his mind, do you know it's Peter that will say, let's go out fishing? Well, I bet this girl's where they talk. You know, pay us, you know, go put food for our table. More work, borrow yourself sense. Just borrow yourself some small sense. Go and hustle. Your hustle will not give you anything.
There's a blessing that will last. That thing lies with Jesus. You can never get rich outside Jesus. If you get riches outside Jesus, it cannot last. Hallelujah. So the true riches, that's what Apostle Paul was saying in Ephesians 3:8, calling unsearchable riches. Can we say unsearchable? Unsearchable. What's the meaning of unsearchable? You cannot find it out. There are no riches you can see with your eyes. Please don't worry about life. You will have money. You will have good wife. You will have good children. You will have, if you want to build house, you will build house. If you want to buy car, you will buy car. Yeah, if it is in God's design for you to have, you will have it. Let's not be afraid of tomorrow. There's a tomorrow we should be afraid of if we don't have. There is something everybody calls tomorrow because of your future. What is your future? When you have all you need and you settle down, it's not better than the life of a Gentile. So what will make your life different from a Gentile? You should seek what Gentile is not seeking. Actually, you are not supposed to seek things. They are supposed to be added to you. And it's not your strength that will add it to you. Say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye first means seek ye only. And then other things will do what? Be added. Seek ye first does not mean you wake up and be reading Bible and be praying from morning till night. No. You will still go out to work. But because you are devoting your heart to seek only God, then he knows how to bless the little in your hand. Does not mean you will not, you may not suffer, you will have to suffer sometimes. The business may not go well sometimes, but you are still not losing heart. You just know that God is in control. Do you have food? Do you have raiment? Eh? Even if it's one, you shall get clothes. Even if it's the one you will remove at night, wash, wear the next morning, then do you have food to eat? If you have food to eat, then you have all it takes to pursue after unsearchable riches. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord will deliver us from distractions. Amen. I see that some of us really want to give our hearts to God, but there are a lot of distractions. Eh? So that's why they asked me to tell us that those distractions, they have expiry dates and they will soon expire. Amen. And they will soon expire.
Amen.
They will soon expire. We'll come into better communion. We'll come into better fellowship with God. And everybody will live a better life.
Amen.
Better life is with God. Better life is with Jesus. It's not in money. The Lord will help our understanding in Jesus' name. So let's go back to scripture. That Ephesians 3. I was just trying to describe riches. That when we say riches, or when we say God bless me, or when we say God butter my bread, is not anything natural. When you hear God, because God is invisible, don't quickly think about natural thing as a way to show God. If you want to do that, you will miss it many times. You will pursue after this world with the energy with which you should have given to the Lord. Let's go to school. Let's hustle to keep our family, but not at the expense of God. I always give this testimony to students. When I entered school, because there's a lot of money. I didn't grow up with my parents. Of course, they couldn't even send me to school. The people I even stayed with, they couldn't send me to school until after, I didn't enter high institution until after 6 years. After I wrote WAEC. I stopped calling my friends because all of them have finished school and finished serving. Hey, babe, where are you doing now? I delete everybody number. Just day my day. Day your day. Let me day my day. Why? Somewhere there is because I still lack understanding. There was a shame that after 6 years, you have not still gained admission. By the time I went, it was with a serious warning. You know when people annoy your parents and they pull tooth and nail to pay your school fees and you now go and bring carry over home. You know you are not helping the situation. I begged God. I told them, church, I'll go to church. Small. Because first class, they were just ringing my first class. You must make sure you come to this one with first class. Yes, sir. Make sure you come to this one with first class. Yes, sir. Make sure. I tried for the first semester. The thing no grill. When I did 3 point something, I say, okay, I'll keep pushing. Ah, where's your first semester result? It's out. Ah, no. I still need you to push. So when it got to some difficult subjects, you know, when you begin to have below C, you know that first class is far from your life. Sure, you understand. And there are some courses like that. Some I could easily get A, but they are not the ones that have big, big points. But you see those ones that now have heavy... Ah, units. Oh, Jesus. Oh. That's when they now introduce us. In fact, that's what made me join Eternal Life Embassy. It was not that I was looking for God. I was not looking for God. Everybody leave me. I already have God. And I'm born again. And I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Let me go to my church small, face my book, so that first class I must get. So PJ, Pastor James, came to take us tutorial on a particular course. That course, if you are not carrying that course, heaven has helped you. So the first time he came to class, he just said something. I'm here because of two things. He said he's on this campus because of two things. He said number one, because God asked him to come. Then number two, because of his academics. Inside me, I was now saying, you cannot put God as number one. If you be wise student, you should put academics number one and add small God so that God will help your life. I was just saying that in my heart. He now made another statement that now weakened me. He said, the reason I said God first is because the first can take care of the second cannot take care of the first. Do we believe that God can care for our needs? He can care for your business. He can care for your health. Sometimes we don't believe that God can come that low. He can care for little, little things. And the person they put in charge is Holy Ghost. That's why if you don't have a relationship with the Holy Ghost, you will suffer too much. You can ask Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, I beg, I want Minepa to bring light. And it will amaze you, they can just bring light. I've not tried it before. Many times. That's one person you can talk to pari passe. Hallelujah. Amen. When he said the second cannot take care of the first, for the first time, I said, who is this person? Then the literature class, so they said he has one friend, his name is Alfred. So they invited me to Eternal Life Embassy, and I realized that was their church. I just told my friend, I don't see church. I didn't go there because I wanted God. I wanted to be close to them. So that because after that first tutorial with PJ, I came out with A in that course. I said, come become one local champion for department. Do you understand? You know, lecturers will say, favor, did you know what you got? I said, no. You tried though, you really got 74A. You had 74A. Say, me, lecturer, they come tell me my score. But one thing never left me. The second cannot take care of the first. The first will take care of the second. I am praying that the love of Jesus will become number one in our hearts. Amen. Let's go back to the scriptures. I'm still reading from Ephesians 3:8. I'm talking about the unsearchable riches of Christ. I just want to paint riches because if we begin to say riches of Christ, we don't know it. Yeah, we don't know it. We don't know it. We know natural riches, but riches of Christ, we don't know it. To us, when you have financial abundance, but like I tell people, Adam was not seeing the gold of Havilah when he was in Eden. You know, there was a river that they said is filled with gold that flow into Eden. Do you know he was not seeing that gold? He wasn't. And like I would jokingly say, if they give some of us opportunity to go, even if not small, even if not just one backo sack, I would just pack. Sure, you understand? Let me just gold here. Eh? If some of us with our mind now, if we enter that place, we begin to receive business idea. Imagine seeing all the fishes in the sea. You know what they think of? If we do fish pond, by the time we do this business, sure you understand? Animals, let's do poultry farming. See birds, they fly everywhere. Nothing. Business ideas will start opening. But Adam was there, he was not seeing those things. Because that's not man's primary problem. Their problem began when they got disconnected from God. So something has disconnected us from God for a long time. That's man's primary problem. Man got disconnected from the love of God. And how was God showing them love? He was coming in the cool of the day to talk. So if you read Ephesians 3:8, they gave Apostle Paul grace that he should preach among who? Gentiles. You and I fall in that category before we gave our life to God. So it means what we deliver these riches that we don't know to us, is preaching. Can we say preaching? So you cannot be tired of hearing God's word. You cannot be tired. When it is Sunday, we'll come and hear what? Preaching. Why? Because we want unsearchable riches. You can't find it out. You can't find it out. We have seen example with many. Peter could not find it out with all his labor at night. Do you know what he has used? He has used his skill, his learning, his intelligence. Fish don't come out in the day. At night, they apply all the intelligence, all the laws you have learned. If grace is not preached to you, you can't break forth into the realm of wealth. And you can get little money that can give you food. You will struggle, struggle, struggle. That's why Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Some of us never sabi that rest. There's a kind of rest Jesus have that we don't yet have. Yes. There's a kind of peace he has. I used to pray and say, God, Jesus, give me that peace. That you are inside boat. Storm wanted to capsize. If you were there. Shall we are still saying praying in tongues. You are still doing shabba, 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 shabba. When you see trouble sometimes, your mother tongue, your local language, you know what Brassan was trying to say, there are some things you want to explain because of pain. That you will need your mother tongue. You know those kind of prayer, you are not praying English. Sure you understand? You begin, for me, I will turn it to Yoruba because I need God to understand the way the thing is pain. It's not like he doesn't understand, but I need to know that he understands the way the thing is paining me. Hallelujah. So he has used all his intelligence, but yet he has used all the language he knows. He couldn't get it until grace was given to him to preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Can we say riches of Christ? Riches of Christ. So if it is unsearchable, it means it's a mystery, it's a secret. If you don't look for it, you won't find it. Let's read verse 9. Can we read together? And to make, is okay. How many men? I don't know if you have seen yourself in this hall. Please let's know that we are not just created for to come and hustle. We are created for something and to make all men see. Can we say see? So it means man's primary problem is not that he doesn't have money. It's his sight. So your problem is not the size. How did David kill Goliath? It's not because of the size of Goliath. He has another sight that everybody in Israel, they don't have it. That guy has received some training that has changed the way he saw God. He was the only one that could say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? You, my God. Who be your creator? How dare you? But they don't have that relationship that will make them see problem as little before God. So it's not the size of your problem. It's your sight. Problems will keep coming. But what happens to your sight? Will you lose sight of Jesus? I was saying that Jesus was resting. Some of us cannot sleep like that. In the place of trouble. You can't sleep. Oh, you will not be able to sleep. Only security matter now. I now realize that Bible is too complete. He said you hear of wars or rumors of wars. Some is not war. It's the rumor that is killing some people. It's not even the war. People going to withdraw their children from school is what? It's rumor. It's not still the war. Just rumor of kidnappers has turned some people in disarray. Why? Because primarily they don't have peace. This same you that have been confessing, my going out is kept and my coming in. How will you also be thinking that if you enter bus where kidnappers go carry? Even if kidnappers are to attack that bus, because you are in there, things will change for the course of your life. So most times you don't know who you are. You don't know who you carry. And so little things keep carrying you in life. But Jesus will grant us stamina in this season. He will grant us stability. He will open our eyes to begin to see these unsearchable riches. Now let's read verse 9. And to make all men see. You and me can see. What is the fellowship? Can we say fellowship? Fellowship of what? The mystery. Fellowship of the mystery. Read. Which from the beginning of the world, what did they do to that mystery? They hid it in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. They already call something mystery. They now say they hid it again. Are you not seeing that it's double job? Something is already a mystery. They now still hid it. So you know that it's not something you get on the surface. There's something that is required to fetch out secret things. Hallelujah. And they want all men to see it. God can take risk. Abi is a risk taker. Do you know the meaning of to make all men see? The way that they described it. You see a child who has, what's that sickness? Is it autism? Abi autism? How did they pronounce it? It's autism. And that child, you have the duty to make him a professor. What you invest in his health, what you invest, it looks so much impossible. It's just like Ezekiel with the valley of dry bones. So impossible is nothing with God, because with him, all things are possible. With him, all things are possible. And God wants us to see that. Say, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God. So if something is a mystery and it has been hid, to now say a mere man to come and obtain it as inheritance or as his life, you know that it is not small labor. So nobody knows this mystery. Fellowship of the mystery. Now, when you are born again, there are three beings you have to come and learn. Born again means you don't believe Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. When they say all men here, that all men who have believed, if you have believed in Jesus, you should see the fellowship of this mystery. Can we open to Colossians 2:2 before I proceed? Oh yeah, let's read everybody. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. We have always known that there are three mysteries here. The true definition of Christianity is you should come and learn this mystery. Amen. After you don't born again, finish. They should come and teach you these mysteries. Christ is a mystery. Father, na mystery. God, na mystery. When we say mystery, they are secrets. If they are secrets, then if they don't reveal it to us, we don't know them. But hallelujah, hallelujah. We have a good news. We have a good news. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. Amen. Oh yeah, make all of us read again. But as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God had prepared for them that love him. Read verse 10. Unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Did you see that? They say God has prepared something for them that love him. There's a clause there. Amen. Amen. Jesus will bring us to the point where we can love him. It's God that loves us. We don't love God. I'm not trying to insult us. When it comes to God, if they put God down and put 1 million down today as you did like this, talk true. This is a gift. We just put God and we'll put 1 million. There's a heart that will say, pick 1 million. God is always there. This one, if you go. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, eyes have not seen. So it's not easy for eye to see mystery. Ears have not heard. It's not easy for ears to hear mystery. The things you are hearing in this assembly, that's what we call mystery. When they are delivering to you, preaching Christ, they are delivering to you mystery. They are delivering to you secret of wealth. Amen. He said, neither have entered into the heart of man. Why? Because man's heart does not have templates to receive God's language. Amen. Amen. So, first of all, they will just arrange heaven to just make sure you believe. So that you can have a template of hearts that can begin to receive things. He said, the things which God had prepared for them that love him. So, God has things prepared for them that love him. Verse 10 now says what? But this same God has done what? Revealed them us. How? By his Spirit. For who? The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Or the Spirit searcheth the secret things. Or the Spirit searcheth the unsearchable riches of Christ, of the Father, and of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Your effort cannot search your true riches out. What will make you rich is this gospel. What will make you rich, last, is these things that you are hearing. Say the Spirit, so I know it's God's Spirit, but you know, at least for being a believer, the first level of, or the first portion of the Spirit of truth that they give you is Holy Ghost. Amen. So am I saying there's a difference between Holy Ghost and Spirit? I'm only trying to say that God is Spirit. Shebi, you know. Father is Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit himself is Spirit. That one where you receive, if you don't get born again, where they go pray for you, you go come to speak in tongues. Eh? That one a portion of the fullness of the Spirit. Because even God himself is Spirit. Waiting they carry them as Spirit. So before you can have the fullness of the Spirit, you must have come into God. Amen. So just like the journey of when you give birth to a newborn baby, at least if you don't know anything, when they give birth to baby first, it's either they give him water or they give him what? Milk. Nobody give birth to baby day one and nurses go say, oh yeah, bring Gary. You carry Gary and soup, come madam. Oh yeah, I'm going to give Gary and soup. The way this boy, they cry. Or maybe because they say the woman is not lactating, they will not say, ah, nobody get food for, now get rice. I'm going to put rice for this picking mouth. No. If the woman is not lactating, they will go and buy formula. Right? Why? Because what a child can take is milk. So for every one of us, when you are born again, I'm going to somewhere. Before you begin to, Holy Spirit will begin to carry you to such things. There's that initial beginning. So when they first give birth to a child, and he cries, hallelujah. By the way, I like to call crying speaking in tongues. Yes. If you give birth to any child and he doesn't cry, what would he? They will. Some things need to beat us. Some of us, our tongue, you know, they come out. Hallelujah. When you first give birth to a child, the first sign that the child is alive is that he cries. So the first sign that you are alive in God's world is that you will cry his tongues. Your tongue must not be too weak to utter. I mean, the thing don't make sense. Actually, it don't make sense. Why? Read 1 Corinthians 14:2 quickly. All of us go read them. We will be blessed. I'm just going somewhere. What I wanted to talk about is God's love. That's the mystery, Sha. Can we all read? For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. How be it in the spirit? What does he speak? When you speak in tongue, you're not speaking car. Even if you come with, Lord, I need a car. Shavrada balada. You see that thing that you have turned to like that? They'll begin to supply your need. It's not car they will give you. When you speak, see now, how be it in the spirit, what is he doing? He's speaking mysteries. What did they call it to come and learn? Mysteries. What is the thing that ears have not heard and eyes have not seen? It's mysteries. What has God prepared for them that love him? Mysteries. So you can't be far from Holy Ghost and you want to begin to know the unsearchable riches. You will never be rich, oh, if you don't have fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Both spiritually and naturally. Hallelujah. Because you have enough boldness to confront things in the natural. You don't know what Holy Ghost does. Holy Ghost helps us. So he helps us solve our problems. He will heal your sickness. He will heal your disease. And that's why when you are born again first, you see that thing that they call milk. You see all those gifts of the Spirit now, milk. Do you know they have preached to people and say if they can believe in Jesus, their sickness will be healed? And they believe and their sickness was healed. You just gave that believer milk to drink. It doesn't mean, if he doesn't follow, if he doesn't look for unsearchable riches, that person will still perish, even though he received healing from Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. God can prosper your business. He can bless your business. So some people, the reason why they are pursuing after God, they are laboring, is that they don't want to get riches in an evil way. As we did here, so, even though in Nagari they drink, you don't get liver, go do ritual to get money. You don't get that liver. You don't get them. And may you never have it. Amen. 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 You know some people, when they have tried, what pushes them to take such decisions is, they feel I have tried all my life. You didn't try. If you try, you for focus on the gospel and have enough trust in Jesus that he can cater for your need. God is too... Most times, the reason why we worry is that we used to think or assume that God does not have capacity to do what he says he will do. It's doubt on our inside. So he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, I like believers who speak in tongues. Can we say speaking in tongues? I will speak in tongues. Yes, you will speak in tongues. We go speak. You should do that all the time. Even if you don't understand it. Said, he speaketh not unto men, but unto who? It should be a privilege to you that you know that there's a way you can communicate with God. He now said, for no man. Can you take away your mind from no man is understanding you? So even if you feel you can't do that outside where people are, but you are in the midst of people that you know, you should speak and hear yourself because you are communing in the spirit. And what are you speaking? You are speaking mysteries. So that 1 Corinthians 2 verse 10 says the spirit does what? God has revealed them to us by who? By his spirit. And then the spirit will begin to do what? Search all things. And what is that all things? Yea, the deep things of God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 So, one purpose that God has in mind that he will never back out, no matter what you do, is that he loves man and then he wants man to know his love. All I've been saying since morning, whether mystery of Christ or mystery of Father, mystery of God, they are equals to God's love. Can we all read John 3:16 together? For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting. What is everlasting life? The only thing, the only definition you can give it is the life of God, Chibi. It doesn't make sense like that. And so if they don't preach it, you won't know it. To know that a soul can calm down is riches. They must have taught you by light. Patience. That a man with patience is a rich man. A man with patience is a rich man. For you to see patience as a more valuable riches than somebody who will give you 20,000, they must have changed your sight. So the book of John tells us that God so loved the world. And if you read 1 John, it was talking more about God's love. Now, we don't know the love, or we don't know this mystery. We don't know these riches because God himself is invisible. Hallelujah. But I want us to know today that even if everything expires, God's love does not expire. It remains. Hallelujah. And then no matter what you do, it cannot stop God from loving you. Amen. Can we read Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4? Thank you for fighting to stay and journey with me. Okay. Can we all read together? According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame, where? Before him. How? In love. Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to his good pleasure. Hallelujah. So God saw that what he has for man cannot enter man, or man cannot comprehend it. And that's why we'll forever be grateful for them sending Jesus. Hallelujah. So it was Jesus that came, and that's why they say, for God so loved the world that he now did what? Gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever can believe in him will not do what? Will not perish. Perish, no be hellfire. Shame we don't know him. You've heard it. Perish is living a life that is disconnected from God. And so he's not going to hellfire. That you don't know the love or the life that God has packaged for you to live, and you are just doing your own. You just want hustle, make both ends meet. And it can be a life of perishing when God is not involved. Hallelujah. Amen. So God chose us, can we say, before the foundation of the world? When we say the world, what do we mean? We mean the creation of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. So God has chosen us. Even say your mind, your matter don't de God heart even before he created. And that's why we nullify the gospel of wanting to go to heaven as a reward of Christianity. The reward of Christianity is to gain God's life. Hallelujah. So if God has loved you, there is an expectation. If he has poured this so much love by sending his son, giving Holy Ghost, giving everything, and telling you that he has a promise for you, and that promise is to give you his life, what should now be our own response? That's what that 1 Corinthians 2:9 now says, that God has prepared things for them that love him. Amen. Yeah. If God so loved, what should he reap back? Eh? He should reap love. If you sow maize, if you sow yam, God forbid that you go there and find cocoyam. You understand? No farmer like that will be happy. If you sow maize, you should reap maize. If I sow yam, I should reap yam. I should not reap cocoyam. So if God has sown love, what should he reap? If God has sown love, he should reap love. Man's love is different from God's love. Hallelujah. For God to show that he loved, he gave his son. For God to show that he loved, he gave truth. For God to show us that he loves us, he gave the gospel. Hallelujah. Now, if anybody says he loves you and has not given you the truth of the gospel, you have not gotten love from that person. If you love people, what you give them is not just money. We can help people. Hallelujah. Somebody gave you food. Somebody gave you shelter. Somebody gave you, helped you with business. They are outflow of true love. They are not love, Gogo. Love is anybody who can give you God. So when you are hearing preaching, you are receiving love letter from God. Hallelujah. So philanthropists, how we know that they are not doing charity is because they are just meeting people's natural needs. They are not meeting their needs in their soul. Any love that cannot tamper with the need in your soul is not true love. So love is not just that you have feeling for somebody. Love is not feeling. Love is God. And that is the secret. That is the mystery that God wants every man to come and know. Hallelujah. So if you have gained everything, you have not gained God's love. You have not gained life. And what is God's love? God's love is his light. God's love is his life. Because there are three things the scripture will say God is. They will say God is love. They will not say God has love. They will say God is light. They will say God is life. Hallelujah. Amen. So no matter help we want to render to people, it's good to render help. When you are rendering help to people, begin to trust God for the salvation of their soul. That is how you can truly show them love. So any man who has not seen true love, you can't manage a wife. You can't love your wife. You can't. You will have issues with your wife. Any woman who has not found true love, you can't love your husband. Because how God shows that he loves his disciples is that he gave them truth. Amen. Hallelujah. So true love. Now to come understand the truth way there inside gospel. If you get everything, you have not gotten that. You have not gotten true love. You have not gotten true love. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So the gospel is not primarily to improve our status. You are poor before, you now become rich. You have problem before, they now solved it. Your status is changing. But how about your status in the spirit? How about your soul? If your soul is not experiencing truth and is being renewed by that truth, then that soul is not experiencing the love of God. Hallelujah. It's good for people to rise up and help people when they have problem. We are not negating that. But we are only trying to say that true love is solving people's soulical and spiritual problem. And that problem is that they lack the light of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So if God has sown love, then he should reap love. Let's read Romans chapter 13. Let's read first Deuteronomy chapter 10 verse 12. Deuteronomy. Can we all read? 1, 2, 3, go. And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So if God has loved us, he has expectation. Can we see? Did we see from here? He said, what will God require of thee? What will God expect you to give him? God is not expecting you to just give him praise and worship. Lord, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. That's what people do today to say they love God. Have they come to church? Yes. Have they sing praise and worship? Yes. Have they prayed? Yes. Have they listened to message? Yes. What did the message do in their life? Nothing. They shall hear. Carry their bag. They go. This place is saying, but to fear the Lord, thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with what? All thy heart and with all thy soul. So there's no how to show people you love them if you don't give your heart. Amen. Love is not in lips. It's guys that used to do that very well. Hallelujah. A guy can say he loves you and he's not from here. Sure you understand? Uh-huh. But if a lady says, I love you, it's rare, except that corruption has taken over. Before a lady will say, I love a man, if she's saying it, check it. She's sincere. But a guy who is saying that, he could have said that to like 10 girls. Yeah, that's their manner. Ah, I love you, die. I love you, die. I love you. Now just say, you don't know. If to say you know how much I love you, he's a liar. He has another person. Sure you understand? Scam. Hallelujah. His heart is not there. So the person that suffers broken heart more mostly is female. Why? Because they are too innocent. They are too open. Except ladies, that corruption has taken over now. Hey, the showman Pepe. Hallelujah. But naturally, if a woman says, I love you, it's from her heart. She means it. And that's why when you break her heart, it pains her so much. So much. So we give analogy to our secondary school students. Don't let any guy come and bobo you with love. You see guy not like table tennis egg. You, not like fowl egg. Once you break like this, you don't shatter, your life don't finish. You see that guy go bounce back many times. He go, don't work out good. Sure you understand? Eh? Don't trust all those mouths. Any love that cannot give you truth of the gospel, that cannot make you do righteousness, is not true love. Eh-heh. So we tell them, if a guy is saying, I love you, I love you. And the only thing he wants to do is to open your skirt. Is that he hates you. He wants to kill you, but he does not know how he will tell you. If somebody comes to you and say, oh babe, as you did so, I won't spoil your life. I go destroy your life. So you don't go even sabi who you be. Your papa and mama, they're not going to know you. By the time I finish you, I won't give you beleo. You know, you not say it like that. There's a way you'll be saying it. Because men naturally are deceptive. It's their manner. Hallelujah. And to the lady, she'll be saying, ha, the guy loves me so much. The guy loves me. The guy loves me. She go, they misbehave. The guy loves me. It's because she doesn't understand that to truly love, love comes from the heart. And any heart that has not been regenerated by truth cannot truly love. And so love is not feeling. Because feeling will go, married people will testify. Their feeling, you know, the two last two, you know, the three. The reason why we are loving our husbands is because we are loving truth more. Because there are sometimes you will not see what will make you love this man again. You'll be wondering, what was I even thinking, Seth? It's just that you cannot say it out. Hallelujah. When a woman is already feeling she's better than her husband. Amen. Maybe because of some infirmities. You know, since that the case said that thing, I repented many times. Is there any thought that is making you feel like I'm better than my husband? He said that thought is, I wanted to hear what he would say. You know the way daddy comes. He said, that thought is Satan. So if you want to make Satan the play for your mind, let him begin to show you the weaknesses of your husband and not see what God is doing in him. They won't finish your life. Amen. So also, for us who are even singles, you must begin to see God in our brethren. I'm still coming down there before we round up today by God's grace. All right. See Deuteronomy 11, 13. If it's not 13, it should be 15. Deuteronomy 11. Can we all read together? And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart, and with all your soul. One thing we see with these two scriptures is, once you love, you should serve. Amen. I'm beginning to bring my teaching down gradually. Once you love, you should serve. Once you love, you should serve. Once you love, you should serve. Can we say, once I love, I should serve. I know many of us want to serve God, but there is a way to serve God. Daddy has been talking about humility in the place of service. And that's where I'll bring my teaching down to. I pray God will help me today. Let's read Romans 13, verse 9 to 10. We'll read some scriptures. Read it well. Can we read together? For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's Old Testament, right? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely what? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. I'm showing us how to love God back, or how to serve God with all our soul. This place, they put a clause there. Is that you will love your neighbor as thyself. Hallelujah. Amen. I want us to know that this love thy neighbor as thyself was given to them in the Old Testament. I hope you know that that's not what they gave us in the New Testament. What did they give us in the New Testament? Jesus says, love your brother as I have loved you. Amen. So it means in the Old Testament, the reason why they gave them the law was to use the law for themselves so that they can love their neighbor as themselves. Hallelujah. Or as themselves. So the truth is, man cannot even love himself. You think you love yourself by giving yourself a good treat. When you are not applying gospel to your life, you don't love yourself. So you can't give love to your neighbor. So we now see the reason why they will say don't kill. The reason why a man will kill is that he doesn't have love. He has not loved himself yet. A man of peace will not kill. Hallelujah. A man who has tasted peace of the gospel will not think in this manner. Will not commit adultery. So the law was to raise a people who will love. Hallelujah. Who will love God first and then love their neighbor as themselves. That's for the law. But Jesus now said, for you, you will have to love your brother as me. I have loved you. How did he love us? He gave himself. He gave his life. Let's read Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, can we all read together? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Read 38. This is the first and great commandment. 39. And second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Let's read 40. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet. So the reason why they gave them the law, the reason why they gave them prophets, was to raise beings of love. If they had allowed the law to work in them, and they would have loved the appearance of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because the Lord was actually pointing to one true person that should open them up to the world of God's love, who was Christ. But they couldn't get there. We saw that law, and because they didn't give themselves to it, something else took over them. Yet they thought they were serving God. And so when even Jesus came, they could still pick him. And then they killed him. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's read 1 John. 1 John. That should be chapter 4. Apostle John 2 talk about love. I don't know how many times we count love in the book of 1 John. Let's read 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. Can we all read together? 20. 1, 2, 3, go. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? Read 21. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Amen. You cannot just claim you love God because you come to church. Love is a secret that we must come into so that we can be able to love. Hallelujah. Even in the little basics of love, even when believers first come into the faith, there's something that they expect to see in them. Faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints. You see, all that thing that Pastor Lydia was reading in the morning is a sign that the milk of Christ or the meal of Christ has not been done. So the love of that level has not been perfected. When you still have strife, when you still have envy towards your brother, who are they envying? Is it not their brother? It's a brother. Who are they striving against? It's a brother. So you can't say you love God and hate your brother. Even at the premillennial level, the Bible says you are a liar. Just little basic love. If you are not showing it, it means you still need God to purge you with his love. So when we say God's love, it's not just that God loves you and then he's giving you things. It's that he's changing your nature from your inside to be conformed to his image. That is a man who has found love. Hallelujah. If you don't have that, you can't love your brother. If you have not allowed truth to work in your heart, you cannot love the saints. You can't. You can't love. So this is how you show service unto God. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen. You cannot have a relationship that is not okay with a brother and still claim loving God. You must sit with that matter and trust God that there's a solution to this problem. Hallelujah. You can't be violating commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, then do what? Keep my commandments. Anybody who is not a commandment keeper cannot love his brother. Your brother can be your wife. Your brother can be your husband. Your brother can be brethren in church. Your brother can be a co-worker. Hallelujah. You can't show them love if you have not loved Jesus so much to begin to keep his commandment. Every little instruction for our daily living, they are a sign to show that we love Jesus. Amen. Amen. And you can't love Jesus, you can't love God and be selective of what he has given you. And that's why I know that there's still a problem in church today. If church will say, I'm worshiping Jesus, I'm serving Jesus, I love Jesus, and then you don't want Holy Ghost, then something is wrong somewhere. You can't truly love. You can't truly love. Somewhere, somehow, you have crisis somewhere. when the love of that first stage is not complete, it's from love to love, as it is from faith to faith. And from the milk of Christ, there is a love you should come into. You should love all saints. But when you begin to take meat of Christ, you should love brethren. You should love brethren of the same who are journeying in the same manner. There's a manner of love. You don't look at the infirmity of that person to love him. You love because it is a commandment. This is how you show that you love God. Do you love the brethren? Hallelujah. Loving the brethren. How do I show that I love the brethren? I can, Philippians 2 has shown us how to practically love brethren. Hallelujah. Let's read Philippians 2. That's service unto God. Philippians chapter 2. That should be the scripture. Amen. Let's read from, okay. Let's start from verse 1. Can we all read together? If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love. Having the same what? Then, being of one accord, of one mind. Now, the solution to loving the brethren, first of all, is loving truth. He said, if there be any consolation in Christ, if there is any comfort you want me to have in Christ, if there be any fellowship of the Spirit, if you want to show bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. It's easy to be alike in the Spirit. The same Holy Ghost you have is the same Holy Ghost I have. But to now be like-minded, this person must have been a lover of truth. Because it's truth that will wash you to bring you to have like-mind. It's not easy to attain unto being like-mind. Say, having the same love, what are you loving? What am I loving? What do you love? Do I love my business? If you are not loving the same way, to show love to one another will be difficult. Say, being of one accord, being of one mind. Verse 3. Let nothing be done through what? Strife or vainglory. But how? In lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. That I can accept that my brother is better than me. I would have kept commandment to a level. Because it's not easy to accept. Hallelujah. The reason why some of us are running the race we are running now is that we don't want another person to be better than us. Hallelujah. Can you just live your life on your own lane? Just go at your own pace. Your race is not the race of brother A. And brother A, they can allow him to make it at 30. Your own may be at 40. And so not comparing yourself. You don't do things through strife or vainglory. Hallelujah. Amen. And the way God has designed our lives, they are all different. Amen. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness. Can we say lowliness? Lowliness of mind. The only person that can make you lowly is Christ. He said, learn of me, for I am what? I am meek and lowly. It means you can't be lowly if you are not learning Christ. How are we learning Christ? Once they are preaching, instructions will be coming, commandments will be coming. And we have a lot of them. So when we say Christ, Christ is laying down your own life. That's just it. Laying down your own life, you do things because of Christ. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. I can believe that my brother has something that I don't have. And I should be okay with that. Amen. Let this mind be in you, which... Okay, no, verse 4. Look not every man on his own things. Can we say on his own things? But every man also on the things of others. They have now shown us practical ways to say you love God. Don't look at your own things. Don't look at how you just want to make it. Give space or room for God's love to flush your heart. Let it be that you are concerned for another brother. Let it be that you can, as little as prayer is, pray for a brother. Let it be that as little as caring is. And you can't be claiming love for God and you don't have concern for others. We should have concern. You should have concern. You should be concerned about the other person's well-being. My wife is not doing well. Yes, right. But it should gender concern rather than accusing. Hallelujah. My husband is not really meeting up as I want. You know, women like spiritual, especially if you marry sisters from this water, you have to buckle up very well. Sure you understand. To satisfy them with, it's not really money they want. Though if it's not there, they will still complain too. So, husbands sometimes are cutting the ticket. Which one should we do? What do you even want exactly? Hey, you want me to do God? You also want me to also? You want me to do? What exactly do you want? Hallelujah. I know of a lady who's saying, I don't know. If my husband can just... There's this thing in a woman that she just wants the husband to be the one providing. So it's another training for women to be the one earning. Hallelujah. And then the man is not earning. There's a way you'll be feeling like this man can do something now. At least he can do something to add to what I'm doing. You see that place in our generation? God will have to empower some women more than their husbands. There's nothing we can do about it. And like Daddy was saying in that meeting in Lorry, that because the man is at home, and you are the one doing the work and bringing in all the money, and the man is the one that will have to go and maybe cook, take the child to school, bring the child back, does not mean you should make it his duty. Hallelujah. I'm saying looking on the things of others. You should look at, fine, I'm the one that heaven allowed to have the money at this time. Then it shouldn't cause me not to do my duty. There's always that temptation, especially for women. There's that temptation. You just want the husband to be the breadwinner. Even after you have heard message that being a breadwinner is not providing natural things for your family. Hallelujah. That a man is more than a breadwinner. A man should stay under Christ. A man should stay under Christ as Christ is under God. That's his primary assignment. If he does that and is feeding the wife, well, the wife will be okay. Don't mind though, ladies can complain. They can complain. But don't mind, they still love you. You know, sometimes when I look back to when we just got married, of course, things were rough. Things were not very okay. There were things I wish I didn't have said, or I should not have said then. I wish I didn't say those things. But maybe the pressure was too much to bear. My husband is always saying, the Lord will provide himself a lamp. Then he will say it in Yoruba that, Ontioto, Umbo Washeku. So it's okay. Hey, sweetheart, what are we eating tonight? You say the Lord will provide himself a lamp. No, it works sometimes. But there are days that it didn't work, that we had to go home and there's really nothing to eat that night. And you know, inside, I just said, sweetheart, I thank God for you. It's just that the lamp your God has provided today is hunger. So we are sleeping, Shay. You know. After sometimes, I just have to say sorry. I'm sorry. The man is speaking by faith. It's not like he has anything anywhere. So if you are looking on the things of your husband, you should care for the fact that he's carrying the burden of the family in his head. You think they are sleeping? They are not sleeping. They also want to do it well. And so that will make you take a position of not always accusing them. And too much expectation, you can pray for him. You can. You can. Rather than saying, hey, sweetheart, maybe I talk him. That if you give this money out, we'll go hungry this month. If he has decided that, okay, the money should go, you should just say, Jesus, help me. Just help me. You know, by just saying little Jesus, help me, help my husband. Please provide for our need. Sometimes it can come through your husband. It may not come through your husband. Heaven has shall provided in any way. Hallelujah. What are you doing? You are looking on the things of your husband. The husband should look on the things of the wife. Hallelujah. The Lord will really grant husbands to love their wives. And because if you don't do these little things, you cannot say you love God. You can't. You can't. That's how you come into his love. His love, they don't dash it. They work it on your inside. He has shown us his love by telling us the things that he has provided for us. But for us to come into that love, we need our hearts. And what we treat our hearts is the gospel, is doctrine. All these things we are reading out are doctrines to treat us such that we can come more into God's love. A man who cannot love his wife, who cannot come into the fullness of God's love, you can't come there. Because how they will work it to you is still by that your brother, who is your wife or who is your husband. Amen. That the wife is not responding back, you are still doing things because of Christ. You still keep investing. You will repeat in no time. Hallelujah. Say, but every man also on the things of others. A brother is not doing well in church, and you know. It's not like pastor called you and told you. You just know that this brother, his feet is becoming draggy. This brother is becoming worried these days. This brother, he just easily snaps. You can just take out time to pray. You can just. They didn't call you into the matter. You understand? But you can take up the matter in prayers, as little as that is. What are you doing? You are looking into the things of others. That's a man who is allowing love to already wash his heart. Hallelujah. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. I think it's 2 verses ago that Daddy was talking about this reputation. And took upon him the form of a who? Servant. Jesus wanted to show that he loved, then he served. And Daddy said, it's easy to serve people who are above you, but to serve brethren, to serve those who you are above, or who you seem better than, heaven must have worked more of their love in your heart. Who took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. For God to become man, it's like, how do I say it? For a rich man to serve his housemaids, you know, it doesn't correlate. So serve them does not mean you go and wash their shoe. Serve them means you will care for their well-being. Serve them means you will give them life. A servant is one who has received so much love and can give out love. That's who a servant is. Servant, what you are serving is nothing but the love that you have received. The truth is, you cannot give what you don't have. So how to respond back to God in love is allow his love that comes through doctrine, through commandments, to repair you on your inside, to conform you, to arrange you. And by that same experience, it will be easy for you to love your brothers. Hallelujah. So that's God's expectation. And that's what God wants to do with us. I'm trusting Jesus that his love will begin to take over our hearts. In the name of Jesus. I'm sorry if I've taken you through so much long epistles and long. The teaching is not coming with so much excitement. I've just spoken things that were laid in my heart because I want us to begin to see that loving God is not simple. And God expects us to love him back. Amen. Amen. The Lord will infuse love again into our hearts. He will help us to love him. Love him more than we love ourselves. We will love him. We will love his commandments. We will love his life. We will love the love wherein with which he has loved us. And everything contending with our love against God, the Lord by his mercy will begin to expire them. And they will expire them. They will help us. I want us to begin to appreciate God. Just thank God for your life. Thank God. Jesus has come to give us love. Kabale to shefele debelianti paliati bragada gabala dabara dabada badash. Empati levelene kotuzabalian prefeteliandish. Ekamba baba 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 bash. To love God, we must serve him. To serve him, he has shown us. We must become servants. We must become servants. We must love the brethren. We must serve the brethren. Can we ask Jesus, I want more of you in my heart. More love in my heart. More love. More love. More love. More love. More love. More of your love. More of your love. More of your love. I want to love you more. I want to love you more. Can you speak to Jesus? Jesus, help me to love you more. Help me to love you more. Help me to love you with the love which you have loved me. I know I've not fully comprehended this love. It's a mystery, it's a secret. But with the love which you have loved me, help me to love you more. Help me to love you more. I want 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 to love you more. Let me love you more. Let me love you more. Let me love you. Let me love you. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. We'll take Ephesians chapter 3 verse 17. We'll pray that prayer. A lot has been written in Ephesians 3:17 concerning the unsearchable riches of Christ. Can we all read together? Say that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Can we pray? Say, God, root me and ground me in love. Root me, root me. Root me and ground me in love. Root me and ground me in love. Root me and ground me in love.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.